Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
How has being in a state of military invasion, of active war, changed your perspective on the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord?
You know, everything becomes more authentic. At times we use words, we at times construct clever concepts, smart ideas, but unfortunately, they all remain in the realm of ideas and in the realm of words. But here, when you see how fragile a human life is, nothing in the whole universe can protect you from threats that we experience. So you understand how fragile your own life is. Then God ceases to be just a concept or just a word or just an idea. Then he really becomes a source of life and of hope for you and for those who are around you.
Welcome to Preach, a podcast from America Media on the art of Catholic preaching. I'm your host, Ricardo da Silva, a Jesuit priest from South Africa, associate editor at America Media, and associate pastor at the Church of St. Francis Xavier in New York City. In each episode, we take you into the minds and hearts of some of the finest preachers in the Catholic Church. We listen to their homilies, learn what makes them great, and draw inspiration to keep preaching the good news. This week on Preach, I'm joined by Andriy Zelinsky. Andriy is a Jesuit priest from Ukraine. He is an author, a lecturer at the Ukrainian Catholic University, and a co-founder of the Ukrainian Leadership Academy. He is also advisor to the head of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church, and he is the church's chief military chaplain in the Ukraine. But before we get to our conversation with Andriy, a word from one of our sponsors. Are you searching for a meaningful way to get closer with Jesus this Lent? Let me introduce you to a fantastic opportunity: Daily Rosary Meditations with Dr. Mike Scherslick. Their podcast is gaining popularity, offering daily reflections on the Catholic faith through the Rosary. Each day, Dr. Mike dives into a different topic, guiding listeners in meditation while praying the Rosary alongside a global community. In just under 20 minutes, you'll experience scripture, meditation, and the Rosary, all designed to fit seamlessly into your daily routine. Whether it's during your morning coffee or your daily commute, it's a wonderful chance to start your day with faith and reflection. You can easily find them on your favorite podcast app by searching Daily Rosary Meditations or visiting their website at dailyrosary.net. Don't miss this chance to enrich your Lenten journey and strengthen your relationship with God. Join them on Daily Rosary Meditations today. And now on to our conversation with Andriy Zelinsky. Andriy, welcome to Preach. What a joy.
Hello, everybody. It's nice to be with you today.
Andriy, thank you for making the time to be with us. We know that you're living in Ukraine in a state of active war. Tell me, how are things at present?
As you well know, this has been already a second year of a full-scale military invasion in our country. And as a military chaplain, of course, you feel everything that's going on around in a very special way, because there is so many of your friends, of my friends, are right there at the front line. So I'd say it's a time of uncertainties.
What brings you hope in this time?
Me personally, I see how in this time, our people can go on loving, really. They can just love one another, their families, especially the lost one, those who they hope to expect back home soon. But there is hope in our eyes, despite everything. No matter how difficult at times the situation gets, there is hope in the eyes of those who surround me. And this gives hope to me as well. But first and foremost, yes, the Ukrainians do know how to love.
I ask you what brings you hope Because I think that that's probably the most important mission of the preacher, is to communicate hope, the hope of the living God. You're preaching for us on Good Friday of the Passion of the Lord. It's a difficult day to proclaim God's hope. Tell me, what are the readings that we have on this day?
Well, today's readings are about, I would say, an immense God's love revealed to the world, the sufferings and death of his beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And who are you preaching for? You know, who is the community that you would regularly speak to?
These are different people coming from different fields, but most of them today defend their homeland. So mostly, of course, I talk to the military. But as I said, today, our military, our armed forces, they consist of people from various fields with different backgrounds. So my word is to all those who suffer and need hope, as well as to those who at this moment in life find themselves at what I call at the edge.
Well, I'm really looking forward to hearing your homily. Take it away. We will now hear Andriy Zelinsky's homily for Good Friday of the Passion of the Lord, especially recorded for Preach.
I come from a country severely afflicted by war. Millions of refugees, internal displaced people, thousands of killed, lost in action and in Russian prisons, families without fathers, fathers without families, rivers of children's tears, with the unknown today and uncertain tomorrow. Everything was so clear yesterday, nothing remains the same today, and nobody is sure how the next day is going to look like. The people, though, are still strong enough. What is injured, that's our humanity. In the battlefield, I learned that humanity does have edges, those lines beyond which it seems it ceases being human. The first edge that I discovered is the unprovoked violence of an aggressor. Violence is always brutal, but the unprovoked one, that is violence for no reason, is brutally absurd. Absurdity doesn't offer answers. Pain is not interested in your name, in your personality. It seeks only to disfigure the shape of your personal existence. I saw something that I couldn't believe, neither could I understand. Looking at those innocent civilians murdered by foreign troops in their own houses, that those people had been building their whole lives. And then looking at those children watching their moms being raped, and the elderly tying themselves to the radiator in order not to fall down from their legs and sleep, because there is no room to lie down at night in the packed with human basement, for a whole month, for 30 days, in a small Ukrainian village of Yahivne. You look at all this thinking, how come a human being can do so much violence to another human being today, in the 21st century, for no reason? All this seems to point to a certain line in our behavior beyond which there is something about us that we have not yet discovered in our human nature, even after centuries of sufferings. The second edge of humanity, as I think, is better seen from within one's personal suffering. When the whole world suddenly disappears to you, sometimes in one single moment, in a glimpse, and you lose your ground, and you lack courage to make another step because from within the trenches or from within the ruins of the destroyed house you used to live in for years, from a hospital ward or from within your cancer situation or your loneliness and your pain and your loss of purpose, you can't see any longer the sunshine and the blue sky above, or you simply can't see, reduced to pain and suffering, you can't live to the fullness of your human freedom and dignity. You can't be yourself. No, you must suffer. And your sufferings can draw an edge to your humanity. The third edge of humanity we notice, I think, from a distance. You know, that's when your indifference becomes a distance from somebody's real pain. For the human vulnerability, you may agree, is an undeniable mark of being truly human. Wounded humanity can never be far away. We all share in the same human nature. Injured in one place, it can certainly bleed elsewhere, if not taken care in due time. Illusions don't last long, they easily crumble. We can simplify reality to be able not to notice disturbing images of somebody's suffering. Simplifying mind, I think, can't find answers to complex problems. Can't hide. There's no ocean so wide to separate you completely from a wounded humanity, no matter where the scar is. Indifference trims our human dignity. Well, this is our world today, torn to pieces and shred by missiles, tanks and drones, pierced by indifference, scourged by sense of loneliness, so many. This is our humanity, our common humanity today, nailed to the harsh reality of wars and unjustified violence, confined by uncertainties of the present moment. The edge of humanity, I think, must be the edge of my existence, isn't it? If this is the edge, there must be nothing beyond, no future, no life. What could be the sense of these thousands of lost lives, of the rivers of children's tears, of the tons of broken dreams, all the affliction and loneliness in this world? The cross of Christ, too, marks the edges of humanity, but doesn't leave us without hope. He was there, too, at the edge, unprovoked and undeserved cruelty from all those who despised and hated or feared him. Their voice was strong and clear. Crucify him. Unbearable suffering and annoying pain of loneliness within his body and his heart. Crushed, annihilated. A man of suffering from whom people hide their faces. Satisfied with whispers of those observing from a distance, had not he saved others? Remember the words. How come he himself can step down from the cross now? Well, true hope requires a sincere touch to reality. Ugly and disguised, disfigured as it may look at times, painful and repulsive, but reality is always greater than what our sight can reach. There must be something beyond those lines that appear to us as edges, the edges right in front of our eyes. Or better, I'd say there must be somebody beyond those lines. In his spiritual exercises, St. Ignatius of Loyola proposes a very special kind of prayer. Standing in front of the cross and gazing at Jesus crucified, he invites us to talk to him as a friend talks to a friend, right there, at the edge of humanity. Rejected, humiliated, abandoned, crucified Messiah, talk to him. Today is the day. Do not be afraid to ask him, Jesus, my Lord, how come you're once again nailed to the cross? How come a human being once again can be so cruel? How come a human being can be exposed to so much suffering today? How come a human being can be so indifferent today? How come I, maybe better to say, what have I done at the edge of humanity? What can I actually do? You can do what Jesus did. Remember, he loved honestly and to the very end. And it was this love that opened the door to a new day in our human history, and still can do it. When and if only you and me and us don't stop loving like he did. In Jesus, love is stronger than death, not only for him, but for me and for you too. You know, one of the most striking icons in Byzantine sacred art that really shocked me a long time ago was the icon of the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior with an inscription right above his thorn-crowned head saying, King of Glory. Notice, not on the icon of resurrection, but right here, above the cross, here he is, our King. And here's his glory, simple, silent, pierced, nailed glory of our naked God at the edge of humanity. But you know, he's not simply dying there. He's dying for me and for you. And this changes everything. Right there at the cross in Jesus, our humanity doesn't fall beyond its edges. Even there, even then, he continues to love. And even in that dense darkness or loneliness that he experiences as a human being, he doesn't let himself forget that he is loved too. Father, I commend my spirit. Talk to Jesus. Today is the day. It is here that a living hope takes its roots. From the tomb sealed with a heavy stone. For even there, at the edge of humanity, he continued to love. He never stopped. He never will. Maybe you shouldn't either. This is a solid ground for our hope in the time of uncertainties. Here, today, at the edge of humanity.
That was Andriy Zielinski for Breach. We're about to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. When we come back, Andriy will share with me how preaching can't be reduced to technique. Rather, it relies on the absolute authenticity of the preacher and their presence at what he calls the edges of humanity. Do you want to be a master preacher? If so, Aquinas Institute of Theology's Doctor of Ministry in Preaching program will help you become the kind of preacher the church so desperately needs today. Grounded in the charism of the Order of Preachers, the Aquinas program is the only Catholic program of its kind in the United States, and its graduates hold leadership roles in preaching and teaching throughout the world. The Aquinas cohort model is designed to accommodate a full-time minister's busy schedule, including both in-person and virtual components where students work together in a close-knit, supportive community. Applications are now being accepted for the 2024 cohort, which begins this summer. Visit ai.edu/DMIN for more information. Are you still searching for a meaningful way to get closer with Jesus this Lent? Let me introduce you once again to a fantastic opportunity, Daily Rosary Meditations with Dr. Mike Scherslick. Their podcast is quickly gaining popularity, offering daily reflections on the Catholic faith through the Rosary. Each day, Dr. Mike dives into a different topic, guiding listeners in meditation while praying the Rosary alongside a global community. In just under 20 minutes, you'll experience scripture, meditation, and the Rosary, all designed to fit seamlessly into your daily routine. Whether it's during your morning coffee or your daily commute, it's a wonderful chance to start your day with faith and reflection. You can easily find them on your favorite podcast app by searching Daily Rosary Meditations or visit their website at dailyrosary.net. Don't miss this chance to enrich your Lenten journey and strengthen your relationship with God. Join them on Daily Rosary Meditations today. Now, onto our conversation with Andriy. Welcome back to Preach. Andriy, there was a really powerful message and made me think of the resurrection in a new way and the crucifixion too. How has being in a state of military invasion, of active war, changed your perspective on the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord?
You know, everything becomes more authentic. At times we use words, we at times construct clever concepts, smart ideas, but unfortunately they all remain in the realm of ideas and in the realm of words. But here when you see how fragile a human life is, nothing in the whole universe can protect you from threats that we experience. So you understand how fragile your own life is. Then God ceases to be just a concept or just a word or just an idea. Then he really becomes a source of life and all hope for you and for those who are around you.
So how does that shape your preaching, you know, from week to week, day to day?
You know, I believe that preaching is exactly about sharing your experienced reality. And two important things are important here, of course, the reality itself and your experience of that reality. So it's not about nice text, and it's not only about the art of communication, some extra competencies of how to do it properly. It's not only about that. It's about your experience in a very concrete and real context. And of course, you do need practice. You do need some proper ways to communicate them. But for me, it starts with this authentic experience. Then you, especially as a minister, as a church minister, one of your first job, you said that preaching is about giving hope. But first, you have to find it yourself. Mm-hmm. So it begins with your search for hope. And this is already a result of your search for sense, to find God in everything that's happening around you.
Andre, you work with people across many different stripes, right? From the trenches to the president, you have to address people across the spectrum of society. What are the things you've learned that help you connect across audiences? And how do you use this, especially in your preaching?
We all share in the same human nature. So there is this great treasure that times is being neglected just because it is so obvious. That's our humanity. I like to talk about it a lot because when we speak about war, either in Ukraine or in the United States or elsewhere in this world, usually we think about bullets, artillery, missiles, all this stuff, and we forget that there are people who live there as well, like real people. And this time, this is our time. This is the time of our lives, which means nobody is going to ever compensate this time. We can't just decide, okay, now we'll put our lives aside and let's defend, let's fight, and then someday we'll start reading, being joyful, being human again. No, it's not going to work. This is the only chance to live our humanity. As I say, usually hope is not an ideological construct. Can just build it with properly selected words. Not gonna work. Hope is something that will find words when you find hope. Hope will find words in your speech. But the important thing is whether your heart really touched the reality, this sharing experience. So for me, there's a significant thing when we speak about preaching, but also about our spiritual growth. So war is also a place for our human growth.
So the strategy for speaking with people across stripes for you is recognizing their humanity and the shared humanity that we have between us. Are there any technical things that you do in terms of your preaching that help you to communicate when you are talking to people across different levels?
You know, your question is a bit dangerous, I would say, because if you think about techniques, it means already that you're instrumentalizing the person you are preaching to, mm-hmm. because there's this openness and sincerity that disappears. You have to practice. As for me, well, for God to be true, he needs an honest and open heart, and an honest and open, sincere heart definitely doesn't find time to think about a strategy while trying to be open, honest, and sincere in front of the people you're talking to. I mean, I'm not against the techniques. They're important, they're great significance, but in their due time, when you're in front of a living human being, please be living human and be here and now. That's my strategy. That's my answer to your question, even if I had to answer to myself.
So authenticity transcends technique.
Perfect. You got it.
I found it very interesting that, you know, most of your homily probably the first two thirds, were really concentrated on experience and what you call these three edges of humanity. And then you left for the end a section which connected that all to the passion, right? And so the only time you really mentioned, I suppose, the gospel explicitly was right near the end. It's an interesting approach that you've chosen to leave references to the gospel much later in the homily. Why is that?
You know, this is exactly what we are talking today about. Everything starts with your real experience. This is where God touches you, but first you touch the reality and the reality becomes a text. The reality becomes a word that God uses to invite you to this personal relationship, to this level of personal relationships. So it's important to notice what's going on around you in order to be able to understand what God is saying to you with his word for this day, for this moment of your life, at this edge of your life situation, not vice versa. So for me, it is important to start with a real human experience and then to go back to God's word and to find answers, to find meaning, to fill with sense the situation you live through as a human person.
Why is the message of love at the cross, at the edge of humanity, as you put it, and beyond, right, that we keep loving, that that's almost our hallmark as human beings? Why is that message so important?
Because it is the most important message of the gospel. There are some limits at times, as it may seem to you, that you may suffer so much, as especially the first reading, when we read the whole story of a servant of God who's suffering servant.
This is Isaiah's suffering servant. Yeah.
Exactly, and this is such a powerful text without which it's difficult to read even the Gospels, because it helps to understand so much better what Jesus goes through. So at times we can find that we are at the edge because we already reached the limit. We can't find the answers, we can't find the energy, we can't find the strength to cope with the situation, to cope with pain. And you don't have to be in war context to experience these limits. It's just I was talking from my context, but definitely addressing everybody in this world, speaking about various edge experiences. But by this edge of our humanity, I mean that we see, as I said, that humanity is our greatest treasure, universal treasure given to us by God, and we can use it for so much good. And yet at times we approach some limits, some confinements, restrictions, some edges. So for a human being, can seem, that's it, I'm done. I can't do more. I can't be good any longer. But this is exactly where we find ourselves at the cross, right there, at the step of Jesus crucified. He up there, hanging on the cross, shows us that he already reached those limits when he says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. But then there is another line. Why have you abandoned me? No, this loneliness that he's experiencing doesn't let him forget about him being loved. It's just like showing that even here in this emotional sphere, he already has reached the limits. He feels himself completely lonely there, suffering. And here he still remembers that he is loved. So he loves and he is conscious of being loved. This is the key to what? To love being stronger than death. This is how resurrection comes. This is no magic. This is about truth. This is about the reality of love, capable of transforming a human life and the life of humanity. So it's so important. In resurrection, there is no magic. There is God's grace. That's exactly what he demonstrates to us from the cross.
Andre, what you've just said is certainly my prayer for you and for the Ukrainian people and really for all people in distress and for all of God's people, regardless of their situation, that we know ourselves as loved and that we have the capacity to love, that even in our sense of abandonment, we know that God is present to us. Thank you. I think you gave us several homilies in your responses and so much that we can think about and take into our own preaching for Good Friday and our own reflection as God's people.
Thank you very much for the invitation and, of course, for your ministry. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to Preach. You can find the readings and a link to the transcript for the homily in our show notes. This podcast is made possible by the generous support of the Compelling Preaching Initiative, a project of Lilly Endowment, Inc. Preach is produced by me and Maggie Van Dorn. Kevin Christopher Robles and Michael O'Brien offered production assistance. Frank Tewson is our audio engineer and designed the theme score and composed original music for the podcast. Sebastian Gomes is our executive producer. We recorded in the William J. Loschut Studio in New York City. You can follow me on X and Instagram at RickDSSJ. That's RICDSSJ. And also, if you have some time, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. And if you're a fan of Preach, then you'll also love all the other smart Catholic resources from America Magazine. Every day, you can find the best in Catholic media from America. Whether it's the daily scripture reflections from me and my thoughtful colleagues, the Vatican analysis, or culture reviews from a Catholic perspective. You need to be reading America for a well-rounded Catholic point of view. And there's never been a better time to try it. You can get a subscription to America for just $1 for your first month. And if you already have one, help us spread the word and give one to your friends. To take advantage of this $1 offer, visit americamagazine.org/trial. Or click the link in the show notes. For America Media, I'm Ricardo De Silva. Until next time, keep preaching the good news.